Hi there, I'm Pastor Rod Parsley, and I sure want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. I'm the senior pastor of World Harvest Church, where we love God and love people, and I hope you'll be inspired by today's message. Now, for more great content and lots of updates, I'd love to connect with you online at rodparsley.com. But right now, let's head into today's episode. Okay, if you have your Bible, how many of you have like old school Bible? Any of you guys have old school Bible? Hold it up, wave it around. I like old school Bible. God actually gave us a book, not a cell phone. I saw a report this morning that you should always keep your cell phone at arm's length because new studies show that it definitely is causing cancer. Isn't that wild? So my question is, how can you use your cell phone at arm's length? Right? You can't. How many of you got your Bible on your cell phone, on your device? Raise that up, wave it around. How many of you got both? See, you're doubly armed, aren't you? Doubly armed. How many of you have no idea even where you are? You just... Okay, Luke chapter 2. Very quickly, you know this story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. But there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. Now that part I agree with. Everybody ought to be taxed. And it ought to be a whole lot more equal. I like God's taxation system. I think we could fix the whole thing. It's called a flat rate. Everybody pays the same. Okay, that went over big. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He was there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, she now being great with child. So all you that have ever had a pregnant wife, just look at her and say, you just like Mary, baby, you are great with child. Amen. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and she laid him down in a manger because there was no room. Say no room. There was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord came unto them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them what God so often says to us, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly, and this shall be a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the heavenly host angels, multitude, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Why don't you try that? Glory to God in the highest. No, like they were shouting it. Glory to God in the highest. No, they were like exclaiming it. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. So shove your neighbor. If there are brothers, say brother. If there are sisters, say sister. Just shove them and say, peace, my brother. Peace, my sister. Peace to your home. Peace to your mind. Peace to your children. You know, the Bible says, while these children are out here performing it, it just kind of came up in my heart again. The scripture that says, and my children are taught of the Lord. And therefore, great is their peace. Bible says that a man and his wife are heirs together of all the graces of life, and that terror cannot come near your family. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. Aren't you glad for that? If you got fear right now, just love somebody and the fear will go. I didn't say you didn't have opportunity to fear. We all have opportunity to fear. But perfect love casts out all fear. And God from Isaiah 41:10 says to every one of us this morning, fear thou not. Why not? Because I am with thee. Emmanuel, God with us. Be not dismayed, for I, says God, am your God. And in this very moment, I am helping you. I am strengthening you. Do you feel it? Just raise your hands right now and say, I feel your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So go ahead and smile and watch it increase. I said, go ahead and smile and watch the joy of the Lord increase. Peace and goodwill toward men. Joy, joy, God's joy is never, ever dependent upon circumstance, ever. There was a singing evangelist a generation ago. His name was Homer Road Heaver. Now, how'd you like to be tagged with that? Homer Road Heaver. I mean, I don't know if he could have ever been a big time preacher in the day of entertainment preachers. Homer Road Heaver. He was in a meeting and he encountered a man who was actually paralyzed from his neck down. Had been that way his entire life. He was in his mid-30s. He'd never walked down the street. He'd never ridden a bicycle. He'd never been able to dress himself. He'd never been able to feed himself. Why, if a fly came and landed on his nose, he couldn't even swat it away. He'd never laced his shoes. He'd never had need for shoes. He couldn't walk. He'd never driven a car. He'd never put his arm around his girlfriend at the movie theater. Never gone to the prom. He'd never cut his own birthday cake. He didn't have any friends. Why? Who would want to hang out with somebody different than them? Who would want to spend their Saturday evening with somebody different than them? Not less, but different. The singing evangelist caught the young man's eye. His mother, who was there beside him, said, he'd like for you to sing a song, Mr. Road Heaver. Well, certainly I'd do that. What song would he like? Oh, he said, I've got a lot of songs that I could play on my Victrola. How many of you know what a Victrola is? Four. Let's see. iTunes. Know that one? Okay, so like this is a generation ago, iTunes. He said, I got a lot of songs on my cell phone, on my iTunes. I got those cordless Bose headsets. I got a lot of songs, but he said, I've just got, Mr. Road Heaver, I've just got so much sunshine in my life. I heard you have a song about sunshine. I'd just love for you to sing that sunshine song. And the evangelist, a bit confused, of course, said, well, why would you want to hear a song about sunshine. I mean, you're in this condition, you can't even get up and open the window shades to see the sunshine. Well, why would you want to be reminded of something so happy when your life must be so hard? That young man said, well, in all reality, I'm sorry most of the time. And Mr. Rodeaver said, oh, I understand, son. I'm sure you're sorry. I'm sure you're sad. He said, no. I'm not sorry for me. I'm most of the time so terribly sorry for well folk. Because you see, they're so busy that they have no time to get to really know Jesus. Sing me a song. Sing me a song about sunshine. Sing me a song that reminds me when I don't have a friend, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Sing me a song that when I think about these legs that look more like twigs, I remember that I'm going to a city whose builder and maker is God, that will have no need for that light shade over there, because the Son of God, who I know so well, who has brought sunshine into my darkness, who has brought healing into my pain, who has brought joy into my broken heart, who is here beside me and with me and in me, who never leaves me, who's there when I wake up in the morning and is still there when I go to bed at night, and though I can't feed myself, he's the bread of life. Though I can't walk, he's the staff of life. Though I can't even get my own Cheerios, he's the honey of life. Mr. Rodeaver, sing me a song. Sing me a song. The old folk used to say, sing me a song about Jesus. Sing me a song about his love. Every day and night. And let the hallelujahs roll. Now I have a question for you. I'm not asking you, do you know about him? Those living in darkness, they know about him. But it's not knowing about him. It's having time for him. It's making room for him in the inn of your heart. There he was born. In a barn, for that's where a lamb ought to be born. There among the lowing of the cattle and the bleating of the sheep. There among the smell of the straw and the hay. There. There he came. And whether you realize it or not, that's how your heart is. Filled with things that have no benefit to you. Why, Jesus couldn't ride that donkey. Jesus couldn't use the frankincense and the myrrh. Oh, they were all there. But it was really more about clutter than anything else. Jesus came not to angels and stars, not to donkeys and sheep. Jesus came to stand at the door of your heart and knock and say, would you open the door? Do you? I know you got Xbox to do. I know you got television to watch and games to go to and work, family, the yard to mow, the snow to shovel. I know. But one day, not so long from now, we'll all have an encounter with him. Because everybody in this room is going to live forever somewhere. The Bible only talks about two destinations. One's heaven. One's a place called hell. We'll not spend much time there. Nobody wants to spend much time there. No one in this room ever expects to, nor desires to spend eternity separated from God. Who would want that? No one. So the enemy deceives us. He tells you you always have tomorrow, next week. One of our precious leaders was with me this morning. We have a lot to get to do before service, and he was such a blessing to me. And he said, Pastor, I had an experience this week. He said, I was at work and a call came to the supervisor to please go to the floor and wake up one of the employees who had fallen asleep in his chair at his desk. He was 34 years old anyway. So you know, he wasn't 60. He was 34 years old. Wasn't even married yet. And when the supervisor got there and shook him on his shoulder, he slumped over and fell in the floor. He was in eternity before he hit the floor. He was just 34. How old are you? Because the book says, and the book is right and they are wrong. And the book says that tomorrow's promised to no one. He just got up and went to work. How many of you went to work this week? How many of you went to work this week? Okay, I need to find everybody that's not. We need to find you a job. Raise your hand. You went to work this week. Leave it up. You went to work this week. You did your job. You sat at your desk, or you drove your truck, or you made your sales, or whatever it is you do. You did it, right? Oh, what if it was your funeral plan for tomorrow? What if you, like that 34-year-old man who just went to work and sat down at his desk and picked up his phone? That's the reality. I know modern preachers don't like to talk about that. Neither does the devil. But at this time of year, I wonder, what if this was your last Christmas? This would be the time my dad would be making Kentucky fudge every day. And my sister, she would take Mother Parsley's dressing, and she would get up early in the morning before any of us got there, and she would put out a big old bowl of it and cover it up and hide it in the cabinet in her room. And every year my mother would hide the cranberry sauce because she knew my father was going to ask for it. It was a very strange Christmas when my sister no longer filled her chair. All the jokes were gone. Last 3 years, we haven't had any Kentucky fudge. But man, I don't go to bed sad. I'm kind of like that invalid man that Mr. Road Heaver sang that song about sunshine for. Because the older I get just a little bit wiser. And I realize that this life, just like the book said, it's just a vapor, it's seen, then it's gone. All those of you that took such beautiful videos on your phone and pictures of all these lovely children, very, very soon they're going to graduate from high school, and you'll blink your eyes, and they'll be graduating from college, and you'll think, where did it go? How did I? And that's why your Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. Because this thing isn't just about Christmas, and it's not just about Easter. It's not just about living. It's about the eventuality of death, because none of us are getting out of here alive. And guess what? You can get to the point in your life where death has no sting and the grave has no victory, because you know we ain't gonna be here long. None of us are gonna be here long. Oh, I know God wants to bless us while we're here, but man, he's been 2,000 years building my house, and he created the worlds in 6 days. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the ransomed and free, fair haven of rest for all the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Little boy was going through the mall. He came across that nativity scene, and he was tired of his mother dragging him through the mall. That's before internet shopping. Like this illustration, I got to use it quick because the time's coming very soon where it won't even work. Because people are like, mall. Right? I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but like my front door is giving birth to boxes with smiley faces on them. What is that? What is that smiley face box? Amazon? Amazon. Have you seen the smiley face box? Yeah. If you haven't, drive by my house. Because they're stacked up like this everywhere. And I said, what is this? And Miss Jordan said, oh, nothing. Oh, that was for next door. Oh, that was for a friend. They're having their Christmas presents delivered here so their family won't see them. And I'm like, girl, I'm gonna cast that lying devil out of you. Fooling nobody. So little boy, anybody remember malls? So little boy, little boy's going through the mall. And there's a nativity scene. That's before it became politically incorrect to celebrate the reason that this nation even exists. So there he is. Mama's dragging him, you know, and he stops and pulls on her pant leg. Mom, I used to say skirt, but no women wear skirts anymore, so it's a pull her pant leg. He said, Mama, who's that? She said, well, that's a wise man. She said, who's that? Well, that's wise man number two, the sequel. Well, who's that? That's wise man number three. They only do one season of them a year on Netflix. They download it all at once. So you will binge and get all three stories. I said, well, who's that? Oh, that's Joseph. Oh, mama, did he speak Spanish? Because I went to World Harvest and they had a Spanish-speaking Joseph. What's that? Well, that's a donkey. Now, come on. We've got to go. We're busy people. I got no time for the nativity. We got to buy presents for people we don't like. Well, mama, who's that? Well, that's Mary. And your grandmother was Roman Catholic, so Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mama, who's the baby? Who's the baby? So I just want to ask you, do you know the baby? No, like, do you know him? Because here's the thing. Hebrews chapter 11 plainly tells us, verse 6, he that would come to God must, number one, believe that God is. So let's not go any further than that. Let's just, you know, at God's great illustrated sermon, at the manger, the earth is the stage, Jesus is the central character. Let's just pause here for a moment. Let's just look into that manger and let's ponder its meaning. What's really happening here? He that would come to God must believe God is. Do you believe God is? I'm not asking you any more than that. I'm simply asking you a very, very simple question. Do you believe, let me put it in your vernacular, do you believe there is a God? Do you believe that? Do you know that 80% of people walking up and down the street in Columbus, Ohio, or wherever you might be, believe that with all their heart? They believe there is a God. But now we're where we get hung up. Because the writer goes on to say, he that comes to God must believe. You say, well, why doesn't God come to me? He did. I read it to you. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid down in a manger. While angels sang happy birthday and shepherds showed up to see if it was true. He came. History. Forget the Bible. History proclaims he came. He that then comes to God must believe God is. If you believe there is a God, throw both hands up and make yourself embarrassed and just shout, I believe. No, I think you need to affirm that faith. I Step two. He that comes to God must believe God is, and that God is a good, good God. Because your Bible says he is a rewarder, not of casual acquaintances, but an intimate of intimate friends. He's a rewarder, watch, of those who seek him. What does that mean? That means if you look for him, you can find him. It actually means if you want to, you can actually get to know him in a personal relationship through Jesus Christ, his son. Because Jesus, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. You can, what a staggering thought. I can know God. That's your reward. You can win a prize. The prize is called a relationship with the God of heaven and earth. You can have that. You can know his name. In fact, you can find out he's got a lot of names. Who's that baby? Oh, he's Jehovah Jireh, the God that supplies all you need. Who's that baby? He's Jehovah Izuz Hakaboth, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He's Jehovah Maccabi, the Lord God, whose name alone is a high tower. And when you're in trouble, you can run to him and find shelter. He's Jehovah Sidkenu, your righteousness, that baby. Jehovah Makedesh, your holiness. Jehovah Roe, I'm glad I found this one out. I'm glad I got to know him as my healer. Like you can know it. Don't you want to know him? Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Give me 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Who's the baby? You know, Jesus came along to his disciples who had been walking with him, but obviously it didn't mean they knew him. Think of that. Jesus came to his disciples who had been walking with him for 3 years, eating where he ate, sleeping where he slept, watching everything that it did. And yet, he asked them, who do you think I am? Maybe he's asking you that this morning. Who do you think he is? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as the one that cleansed you from all unrighteousness? And let you know beyond any doubt that you're sure for heaven is if you're already there. Do you know him that way? In relationship, in forgiveness. Does he walk with you and talk with you? If not, I've got good news for you today. You can leave this building knowing him. Oh, I know you want to. Who wouldn't want to know God? Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? A place where we leap like a hart over the everlasting hills of God's glory. And the greatest thing may be, there will be no empty seats at that table. Death being swallowed up in victory. Pain gone. Tears wiped from our eyes. Not for a day or two, but forever. Happy reunions on streets paved with gold. You've lost loved ones. You've lost friends. You're feeling alone at this time of year, but I've got good news for you. God's got a seat at his table just for you. Just for you. I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, maybe you're a parent of one of these children. Maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're an uncle. Maybe you just showed up this morning for the first time, but you realize there's something empty in your life. You don't have great joy and peace. You're unsure if something should happen to you in the next 5 minutes, where you'd spend eternity. And today, Jesus says, I want to know you. He's not mad at you. He already settled that. He gave his life so that you could have a relationship with him and know that your sins are forgiven and you're sure for heaven as if you were already there. And begin an everyday, up-to-date, moment-by-moment relationship with the living God. You want that and you don't feel you have it right now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, we're going to pray. And God promised he would answer that prayer. And you can spend this Christmas knowing Jesus Christ. I mean, really knowing him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When I say three, please raise your hand and let's pray together. Make the decision right now. You'll be glad you made. On that day when we all stand before God and you'll hear him say, enter into heaven. You made the right choice. Make that choice now. When I say three, raise that hand and let's pray. One, two, hands are already moving. Thank you. On three. One, two, three, raise that hand, leave it up. Raise that hand and leave it up. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Leave it up. Be bold, be brave. There are dozens of hands. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody in this building to pray this prayer with me. Those of you in Elkhart, Indiana, pray this prayer. Those of you online, pray this prayer. Do it right now. Everybody out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept him today as my personal Savior. I give my heart to him. I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with him. And the preacher said I could. So I confess that I was born a sinner and I've committed sins. Forgive me, wash me in your blood, give me eternal life. I accept you, and from this day, I claim you as my personal Savior. Teach me to live for you, and it's my joy to serve you the rest of my life. Thank you for giving me eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, I want to invite you to tell someone in your life about the podcast. Hope you'll do it today. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review. Share it on your social networks for me. Really helps me get the word out. I'd love for you to connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. No easier way for me to minister to you every day and throughout the day, and for us to join together in faith as God moves in and through your life. You can find links to all my pages at rodparsley.com. God bless you now, and I hope you'll listen again soon.